Heavenly Father, we humbly come before your mighty throne with expectation to be with you, with expectation to hear your voice, with expectation, Lord God, for you to guide us and to show us how to do life. Holy Spirit, we ask that you speak to each and every one of us. We ask, Lord God, that you give us a word that is going to change our lives forever. Because we know that every time we open up your word, it's an opportunity to hear your voice. And so we never want to take that for granted. So Holy Spirit, have your way. We lift up any other church that's lifting up your name today. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're going to bless them. That as they speak and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you will honor those churches, that you will bless those churches, that you will lift them up. According to your word, we give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, like I said, my name is Brian. I'm excited to be with you guys tonight. And I have a message for you that God has been, you know, this. It's funny, you hear this all the time when you hear a pastor. So many times we get to be the first ones to hear it. I know this is something that God is always stirring up on the inside of me. And the title of tonight's message is, Whose Plan Are We Seeking? Now, this message came as I was reading through the book of Jeremiah, and I'm going to ask you to bear with me tonight because we're going to read a lot of scripture out of the book of Jeremiah. And the reason why is because, I don't know, maybe you're like me. As I read through, there are certain books of the Bible that I start going through, and I can find myself daydreaming a little bit, if I'm being honest. I can find myself that God will speak to me in a verse, and I'm like, man, that's awesome. What did he just say before that? And it seems like a lot of times when I go through the prophets and I look through some of these scriptures, I find myself in this place where God will give me a word and I got to go back and read all of this information because there's so much going on in this time frame. And as I was reading through the book of Jeremiah, I was in chapter number 43, and there was a verse that I read, and I'm not going to put it up there yet, but it jumped out at me, and it was so good. And I was like, man, I got to get more of that. So I went back to chapter number 42, and I started reading that. I'm like, I need to go a little bit deeper. Went all the way back to chapter 39 and started to read through. And don't worry, I'm not going to take you guys all to chapter 39 today, but we are going to go to Jeremiah chapter number 41, and we're going to spend some time in that book today. But here in Jeremiah chapter 39, King Nebuchadnezzar had just besieged Jerusalem. And during that time, he had set a governor over them by the name of Gedaliah. And then Gedaliah was taken out by a man by the name of Ishmael. Okay, so now Ishmael is ruling and reigning, and he's taking people out, and he's taking people captive, and he's killing everybody, and there's a remnant of people left. And then there's a man by the name of Johanan that comes along and frees the people from Ishmael. And so here we pick up the story in Jeremiah chapter 41, verse number 16. And I'm going to read through verse number 18. And like I said, I'm going to read a lot of scripture tonight, but I feel that it's really important because there's a lot of truths that keep coming out of this scripture. And there were things that really spoke to me, because a lot of times we find ourselves in a place of life where we end up with the result, but we don't really know how we got there. And if we truly go back and look at the story of our life and read the choices that we were making and start to see all of the different things that we did to get us into that position, it would bring some insight into each and every one of us and would give us a revelation on what not to do next time. And I felt like that's where we were going when I was reading out of the book of Jeremiah. So here in Jeremiah chapter number 16, or chapter number 41, verse number 16, it says, "Then Jehonan, son of Korea, and the other military leaders took all the people that they had rescued in Gibeon, the soldiers, the women, the children, the court officials, whom Ishmael had captured after he killed Gedaliah. They took them all to a village of Geruth-Kima near Bethlehem, where they prepared to leave for Egypt." Now, I want you to remember that word. I highlighted it on the screen behind you. They prepared. See, something happened. They were just freed, and then they went and made preparation. Why? It goes on. It says they were afraid of what the Babylonians would do when they heard that Ishmael had killed Gedaliah, the governor appointed by the Babylonian king. So here they say, look, what happened was they were freed and they started making plans. This is what we all do a lot of times. We find ourselves in a situation and we're looking ahead at what the possible circumstances are going to be. So what do? We start to make plans. And a lot of times we start to make plans based on fear. We're afraid of what's going to happen if we don't have very... Look, and I'm a planner in my life. I like to plan ahead. I like to plan for what's going to happen. I like to put myself in the best position possible so that I'm always successful, right? So I make all these different plans. Here's what they're doing. They've made their plans. It doesn't sound bad until you get to the next chapter, chapter number 42. It goes on in verse number 1. It says, then all the military leaders, including Johanan, the son of Korea, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshiah, and all the people from the least to the greatest approached Jeremiah the prophet. They said, please pray to the Lord your God for us. Now here I'm going to pause again because here's where we see the problem. They made preparation and then they prayed. See, they made their plans, and then here they come to God and they are to Jeremiah, and they say, as you can see, we are only a tiny remnant compared to what we had been before. So before you go and ask God something, because we're getting ready to ask you to pray, remember, for us, I need you to understand my circumstances. I need you to spell out to God the situation that we're in. Just so that he sees it our way. I don't want him to be confused by the circumstances that are presented in front of us. I need him to understand what we're going through. See, there's nothing but a remnant. See, we've prepared to go to Egypt because we're afraid of what's going to happen to us. And we're afraid because at one point we were a much greater nation with a lot more people. But see, we've been dwindled down because they've already come and beat us up once. And now we're a much smaller. So obviously we won't be able to withstand the next time they show up. So I need God to understand. So just do us a favor. Pray for us, but I need you to understand where they're at. Verse number 3. Pray that the Lord your God will show us what to do and where to go. Now here I'm going to point out, and we'll get to it later on, but here they say, pray to the Lord your God. See, they started making preparations. They started making plans. They were making them based on fear. They were making them based on very real things that they were getting ready to face. See, we find ourselves doing that all the time. Like I said, I love to be a planner. I make plans based on what we see, based on what we sense, based on what's going on. But we always have to make sure that we pray first and prepare after. Because we have to determine what God is asking us to do and make our plans based on what he has put before us, not based on what we feel. And so what happens is in our life so many times, because we look at the circumstances, the economy's bad, so I need to make a plan. We make our plan, I'm going to leave, and I'm going to go somewhere else where it's financially easier and better. Oh, by the way, God, are you okay with this? In case you didn't know that, inflation's gotten pretty high in California. I'm going to leave my job that you've called me to, but I need you to understand how difficult it's gotten and how frustrating people have been and the hurts that I've started to build up. So I need you to understand where I'm at. I've made preparations. I've already been filling out applications, and I've already done all these things. But God, you tell me what you want me to do. The problem with that is so many times we set ourselves up that we fall in love with the ideas we've already presented in our head, that we're not truly asking God for his opinion in what we're getting ready to do. And so here we find ourselves. He says, let the Lord show us where to go. Verse number 4. I was reading out of the New Living Translation. I moved to the New American Standard just because I like the way it said it better. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I have heard you. Behold, I'm going to pray to the Lord your God in accordance with your words. So he says, look, I'm going to do what you're asking me to do, but I'm going to say what you're telling me to say. And understand, I'm asking what you told me to ask. Because again, so many times, you know, it's funny, I was thinking about sometimes when we get spiritual guidance, and I'm calling you out right now if you've done this, and you know who you are. But don't do this. People show up to spiritual guidance and they're saying, listen, I need direction. Tell me what to do. Ask God what direction we should take, or show me in the scripture. And when you show them what they want to do that's contrary to what they want to do, they get frustrated and they get irritated that you're telling them something that they don't want to hear, even though they were the ones that asked you to tell them. Sorry, I'm going to leave that one right there. Think about that when you make a spiritual guidance. So he goes on, in accordance with your words, and I will tell you the whole message. See, I'm going to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I'm not going to leave anything out. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to give you the message in entirety. All of the things that you may want to hear and all of the things that you don't want to hear, I'm going to deliver it to you. He goes on, verse number 5, and he said to Jeremiah, may the Lord be true and faithful against us if we do not act in accordance with the whole message. He said, listen, if you tell us what to do and we don't do it, we're ready to reap the consequences of it. I mean, they're setting the table right now. They're pretty confident in what God's going to say. With which the Lord, your God, will send you to us. Again, that we find ourselves in this situation so many times where we go and we say, look, God, I need direction. I'm in this relationship. And I need to know from you whether or not you want me to move forward with it. And God says, that's not the person I have for you. They're pulling you away from me instead of to me. I need you to walk away. Are you ready to hear that answer? See, we go to God and we say, God, I want to be removed from this position, or I want to be removed from this area, or I want to go somewhere else. But are we prepared to hear the answer? See, we say that we're prepared for the consequences. Should we choose not to listen? But is our hearts really ready to hear the whole message? I'm going to jump ahead to verse number 9. And he says, then he said to them, you sent me to the Lord, reminding them again, hey, by the way, I'm about ready to deliver you what he said. I want to remind you, you asked for this. See, I didn't come and pry. I didn't put myself in this situation all by myself. I'm delivering what you asked me to deliver to you. He says, the God of Israel, with your request, and this is his reply, stay here in this land. If you do, I will build you up, not tear you down. I will plant you and not uproot you. I am sorry about all the punishment I have had to bring upon you. Now, I want to point something out real quick. The New Living Translation says, I apologize for all of the punishment I had to bring upon you. When you read out of the NASB, he says, I will relent on the punishment I had to bring upon you. See, there was a lot of stuff that was going on in idolatry. There was the consequences that they were already in being besieged. All of these things happened based on the decisions that they made prior. And so here God is saying, look, I am going to answer you. I'm going to take care of you, but I need you to do something. I need you to go against what you think you should do. And I need you to trust me. See, in your mind, if you stay, you're going to be overtaken. In your mind, if you stay, you're going to be destroyed. In your mind, if you stay, everything's going to come against you and you're going to end up in a very bad place. But I need you to step out in faith, and I need you to stay. And if you step out in faith, and if you stay, and if you do what I'm asking you to do, I'm going to take care of you. See, we have to understand that there's no better place to be than the obedience of God. There's no better covering to have in your life than the covering of the Lord. See, the economy says one thing, but God says another. The reality is we look at the situations in our life, and again, we're dictated by these things. And this thought continues to come to my mind in relationships, because so many times we're steered by our relationships. And God tries to remove people from our lives and tells us that they're not good for us. But the reality is we don't want to hear that because, see, fear comes in and says, listen, if I get rid of them, who will love me? If I walk away from that relationship, I'll never find somebody else. They're the first person that understood me. They're the first person that has ever loved me. They're the first person that's ever taken care of me. I can't walk away. See, fear comes in. Deception comes in and tries to tell us something. But God says, listen, if you trust me, I will take care of you. When we look at our finances and we want to find ways that are contrary to the ways of God to get us out of our financial situation, and God says, don't do that. If you trust me, I'll take care of you. See, as long as you stay where I tell you to stay and do the things that I'm asking you to do, I will not uproot you. He goes on, and he says, do not fear the king of Babylon anymore, says the Lord. See, he may have came and wiped you out at one time, put you into a position of slavery. He might have killed all of your friends and the people that you knew. But I need you to understand that if you do what I'm asking you to do, you don't have to be ruled by fear. He goes on, he says, for I am with you, and I will save you and rescue you from his power. See, we have to understand how big God is. We got to understand how much control he has. We have to understand how much power is in him. We have to understand that he's the one holding all things together. He's the one that's bringing us all things. He's the one that's taking care of every need that we have. He says, I need you to grab a hold of what I've given you and my power and my authority if you trust me and you stay. Verse number 12, I will be merciful to you by making him kind, so that he will let you stay here in the land. He says, that king, you let me deal with him. I got him. You just do what I say. See, here's where we find ourselves. And I'm gonna ask you, if you're thinking about your situation, and trust me, we all do this from time to time. We find ourselves in a place where we start to get off track of where God has called us to be because we begin to get ruled by fear. We begin to get ruled by circumstances. We begin to get ruled by the situation that is in front of us instead of the God who is commanding us and who has blessed us and who has put us in this position. Listen, he didn't leave us before. He's not going to leave us again. He's taking care of us before. He's going to take care of us again. See, the same God, like we just sang tonight. Verse number 13. He says, but if you refuse to obey the Lord your God. Now here he's telling him, listen, if you choose to do what you want instead of what he says, I've already told you, if you obey, he's going to take care of you. But if you refuse, and if you say, we will not stay here, instead we will go to Egypt, where we will be free from war, the call to arms and hunger, then hear the Lord's message to the remnant of Judah. This is what the Lord of heaven armies, the God of Israel, says. If you are determined to go to Egypt and live there. See, they made their plans. And he says, if you are determined to do what your flesh wants instead of what I say. See, why do we get into a place of disobedience? Because we are determined before we even go to him. So many times we are so determined to do what we want that we miss out on what God has promised us. The problem is we like to hold him accountable for the situations in our life that don't look good. But here he tells us, if you are determined to go to Egypt and live there, then the very war and famine you fear will catch up to you and you will die there. See, you can't outrun the sin of this world. You can't outrun death based on a fleshly desire and a fleshly motive. You can't operate according to your ways and expect to get yourself out of trouble. The same thing you're running from, it's going to find you. You want to know why? Because the problem is usually us. The sin nature, the things, the mistakes. Look, here they are saying, listen, okay, you beat us up enough, God. We get it now. Tell us what you want us to do. All right, I'm going to tell you. But you want more of that? You want to be outside of my covering again? You want me to allow the world to do what it's going to? Listen, I can take care of you, or I can let you have what you sowed. I can cover you and protect you, or I can let you go out there and get beat up. The choice is yours. See, he's given us free will. We live in a fallen world, a world that we cannot overcome according to the natural, according to our own ability. But see, through Christ, all things are possible. Through Christ and his grace that's alive on the inside of us, we can overcome and do all things. We can overcome through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We can continue to grow in the plans that he has for us. Why? Because we stay under his covering. See, the decision-making in our life is not going to be what protects us. It's always going to be the obedience. So I'm going to jump ahead to chapter number 43 real quick. Because here it says, then when Jeremiah had finished giving this message from the Lord their God to the people, all the people, Azariah, the son of Hoshea, and Johanna, son of Korea, and the other proud men said to Jeremiah, "You lie. The Lord our God hasn't forbidden us to go to Egypt." Isn't it funny how now in their disobedience they want to claim their God? See, before it was the Lord your God. Pray to him. But wait, you're telling me to do something contrary. See, my God wouldn't tell me to do that. See, again, we build up our own idolatry of who God is supposed to be. We manifest to ourselves the God that just wants to fill our every need according to our flesh and give us the path in which we feel is best for us. See, we think that we're here to just be blessed by God, and God is up there just to make sure that we never fall or we never stumble and we can live the lives that we want to live. So here they say, listen, our God wouldn't tell us to do what we don't want to do. He wouldn't tell us to stay here. See, these are proud men. Men that felt that they didn't need God in the first place. Men that already had a plan in motion. They've already prepared. See, they've already got it figured out. All we got to do is get to Egypt, the place you delivered us from already. All we got to do, because if we go there, we won't have famine. We won't have sickness, or we'll be covered. We won't have all of these people coming up against us. We won't have war. We're going to be safe. We're going to be secure. Everything makes sense according to the natural. See, God doesn't call us to do things that just make sense. This is the problem. See, because if it was just easy and just made sense, then we wouldn't need his grace to get through it. And if we don't need his grace, then he won't get glory. And if he won't get glory, the world's going to die and go to hell, because they're not going to see what God is doing in our life and understand that he wants to do it in their life as well. See, we have to understand that the things that we do, the decisions that we make, how they affect not only us, but other people around us. But here in verse number 7, I'm going to jump to it. It says that the people refused. This is the message that got my attention that day. It says the people refused to obey the voice of the Lord, and they went to Egypt. See, what's crazy is in chapter number 42, Jeremiah, go to the Lord. Let him know that whatever it is that he wants us to do, we're going to do. Tell him to give us direction and we will follow. How many times do we do that in our lives? We go to our brethren here, our friends, our family as a church, and we say, listen, I need some help. I need some guidance. I need some wisdom. I have this situation in my life. I got these things that are coming up against me. I'm getting ready to pull the trigger on this. And they're like, I wouldn't do that. Well, you don't understand. I got so much time. I got so much investment. There's so much that I poured into this already. I can't walk away from it now. It's like, man, I'm telling you, this is what the Word of God says. You lie. God wouldn't tell me to do that. We turn around and we bounce. We get frustrated. I said it so many times. See, this is why we have empty seats in the church. Because we've been too disappointed by our own flesh. Even though God has given us direction and told us how to be prosperous, told us how to stay in protection, showed us how to live the life that he has called us to live. But see, we choose to make our own decisions, and then we get frustrated at God because we say, no, you lie. That's not what the Bible says. I mean, it's right here. You have a version. It's on your phone. But see, we choose instead to listen to our flesh because we're so afraid of what's going to happen if we don't make the preparation ourselves. We find ourselves in a position where we're nothing more than proud men saying, I got this, God. I don't need you. Get out of my way and let me go on to safety. The problem is, again, the things that we're running from are going to catch up to us. But how do they get there? How do they get to this position where they had everything figured out and they said, all we got to do is go to God? But then they end up in disobedience. I'm going to go back to chapter number 42, and I want to read a section of scripture out of verse number 20 through verse number 21. Jeremiah, as he just got done telling them what God wants them to do, he says, for you were not being honest when you sent me to pray to the Lord your God for you. You said, just tell us what the Lord our God says, and we will do it. And today, I have told you exactly what he said. But you did not obey the Lord your God any better than any better now than you have in the past. He says, your fruit's showing right now. Listen, you come to me with a dishonest heart. You say you want to know what God's going to do or what God wants us to do, but you're being dishonest. You've already made up your minds. You already have your plan set. You've already began to make your situation taken care of. You've already done everything that you need to do, and you come as a token. God, which direction do you want me to go? You take out your map and you're leaving and you draw out which direction you're going to go. And then you bring it to God and you say, okay, God, I'm starting here. I'm going here. Here's the road I want to take. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to make sure that there's good weather, that there's no traffic, no accidents. Hey, throw in a couple good restaurants along the way. Make sure everything's taken care of. I need you to clear the way for me, God. See, we show up with a dishonest heart because we have no plans to say, Lord, how do you want me to get there? Or God, should I even go? What we do is we make the plans, we draw our lines, and we ask him to solidify our plans instead of seeking after his. See, we need to make sure that we don't allow ourselves in a place where we have a dishonest heart when we come to God. I remember when I was 2001, I was arrested and I went to jail. And I was in my jail cell, and I remember I was praying. It's funny, huh? Because at the time I didn't believe in God. But I was in jail, and so I believed in God. Because if there was somebody that was gonna get me out, it wasn't gonna be anybody else. So I prayed and I said, God, if you get me out of here, I'll never do drugs again, I'll never break the law again. I'll never get in trouble again. I'm going to be a good person from here on out. You know what happened when I got out of jail? I did drugs again. I broke the law again. You want to know why? When I went to God, I wasn't asking for what he wanted me to do. I was asking him to fix my situation. This is what was going on with the remnant. They didn't want to serve God. They wanted God to fix their circumstances. Listen, we're not strong. We're not ready. We're not prepared. So God, what do you want us to do? How can you package all this up to make it to where we're taken care of? See, if we go to God with a dishonest heart and a dishonest reasoning, we're going to find ourselves in a place of destruction, ending up exactly what we're running from. Because we ended up going to God with the wrong motives and the wrong reasons and then submitting to the plans and the purpose of the enemy instead of the plans and the purpose of God. So how do we find ourselves in a place? How do we prepare our hearts for a position of obedience? I'm glad you asked. Seek his plans, not his permission. See, a lot of times what happens is we, instead of seeking his plan, God, what is it that you want me to do? We seek his permission. God, can we do this? See, but when we do that, we're prepping ourselves for disappointment. Because we're so focused on what we want instead of what he wants. Now, what I'm not saying is not to seek the Lord's permission in life. What I'm saying is when you're preparing to make a move, don't make your preparations before you approach the throne. Approach the throne, and when he gives you direction, then make the preparation in order to fulfill what God has for you. But again, when you're asking for permission, you find yourself in a place where you end up being disappointed because you've already prepared what you want and you're asking him to bless it. You know, there's so many times, I've mentioned this a few times. Melissa told me not to mention it again, but I'm going to do it anyways. She's not the boss of me. I'm up here with a microphone. So I've had a lot of times I've been up here, I've mentioned my desire to move out of the state of California. And if you wonder why I have a desire to move out of the state of California, I think there's a picture right over here. You know what I see when I look at this picture? That's not vacation. Peace. You see that? You know what else I see? I see one home and then no neighbors over here. Isn't that amazing? You know, it's funny, I like to tease myself a lot, and I got out of it because it's too tempting to put myself in this position. But like I said, I've talked about wanting to leave the state of California. I don't like the policies in California. I don't like the politics in California. I don't like the crowds in California. I don't like the traffic in California. I don't like California. And a lot of people are like, but it's got great weather. I'm like, I'm hot all the time. Pastor Teresa told me today, she's like, you can't wear that shirt. It's winter. I'm like, yeah, tell that to outside because it's 75 degrees out there. Sure don't feel like winter. But see, we live in California and I don't like it. So I ask God all the time, can I leave? God says, no, you're called to California. You're called to the Rock. You're called to support the senior leadership at the Rock Church. This is what you're called to do. You know why I want to go out of California? Because in my mind, I have it all planned out. Listen, I made my plans. You ready to hear my plans? I own properties in California. I can sell my properties in California, and I can buy a mortgage or buy a house, have no mortgage. I can go work any job because I have no mortgage. Right? Melissa's telling me I want to go somewhere where it gets cold. Melissa doesn't like the cold. She goes, we can't go there. I can't go out in the cold. I said, babe, you won't have to go out in the cold because we won't have a mortgage. I like Wyoming. You know, Wyoming has less people in the entire state than the Inland Empire has. I know you're like, you're a pastor. You're supposed to love people. You know what? I'm a natural introvert. I'm in front of people. Pastor Jessica tells me all the time, you're not an introvert. I'm like, okay. Listen, this is the grace of God that gets me to be joyful around people. That's God's grace every single day. But see, naturally, I want to go be by myself. We have a sign at my house. Go ahead and put the next slide up. Let's stay home. You walk into our house, boom, that's right there on the wall. You know where I want to go? Nowhere. So I think of this life that I could have in Wyoming. Look, I have no mortgage. I could get an easy job. I could have no struggles. I could have no pressures. I can live this life, you know, in peace and in security and not have to worry about anything, right? I won't need God's grace. Hello. This is where we find ourselves. If I don't need his grace, I won't be used by him. And then if I won't be used, this is why I think God won't let me leave. I'm like, God, okay, put me, make me busy in Wyoming. No, I'm just kidding. But the reality is, this is what I want to do. I have it all planned out in my mind because I could go there and have a peace that makes sense to me, where everything goes easy. And I don't really need faith anymore. Wow, does that sound good? Right? It sounds good when you think it. It doesn't sound good when you say it. Because when God starts exposing the heart of why we feel the way that we feel, all of a sudden we find ourselves in a place where, like, you know what? Okay, God, I see why you've called me here. Because you're going to use me in ways that make me uncomfortable. And you're going to ask me to do things that I don't have the power or the ability to do. And when I operate in these things, I'm going to be able to give you glory and you glory alone. I can't take the credit for it. I got to give you the credit for it. And then all of a sudden, what happens? I continue to build your kingdom instead of my own. And all of a sudden, now heaven gets bigger. Why? Because I'm operating in his plan, not mine. See, we got to stop seeking our plans. I had to stop asking permission to leave. God told me one day, he says, I need you to understand that if I give you permission, it doesn't mean I'm giving you my approval. See, we have permission. We live in a world where we have free will permission to sin. But if you obey and you stay, I'm going to take care of your family. I'm going to take care of your kids. I will not uproot you. I will bless you. I will not let the king come against you. But if you go, the same things that you're running from are going to come wipe you out. See, because the problem is the heart. Do we truly seek God? When we say, I'm surrendering all of my heart and all of my life to Jesus, are we truly seeking him? Are we asking him to get involved in our plans? Because listen, God didn't need us on the first day or the second day or the third day or the fourth day or the fifth day or the sixth day. And he sure didn't need us on the day he rested. But listen, he put all this together. He kept the sands and the water separated, right? He put every star in the sky. He created every mountain. He created every being here on this earth. He took man from the dust, breathed life. He didn't need us then. So let's get wrapped up in his plans instead of our plans. Matthew chapter 6. I got to hurry because you know what? You guys are keeping me too long. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, verse number 33. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow thrown into the furnace, he will not much more clothe you, or will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry, then saying, what will I eat, or what will I drink, or what will I wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things. The Gentiles, those who do not have a covenant with me, are the ones that are worrying about what's going to happen. But you don't have to worry when you're operating in obedience. You don't have to worry when you're doing what God has asked you to do. You don't have to, no matter how big it is, no matter how hard it is, no matter how much it doesn't make sense, you don't have to worry. Because see, listen, if he's going to take care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, how much more will he take care of us? He says here in verse number 33, he says, but seek first his kingdom. Don't make preparations. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. See, when you go after God, he takes care of the rest. I'm going to read out of Isaiah chapter 55, and I'm going to close up with this, 55:6, and then I'm going to jump ahead to verse number 8 through verse number 11. Verse number 6 says, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him while he is near. Verse number 8, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. Aren't you glad? If his ways are better than our ways, aren't you glad his thoughts are not our thoughts? See, we want his thoughts like our thoughts. Problem is his ways better? If he gave us what we wanted, we'd be pretty upset about it. Yeah, go back to slavery. Go back where you came from. Go back where you were crying and I delivered you from. See, we find ourselves, but he says, look, my ways are better. He goes on, verse number 9. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and the snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. Verse number 11, it is the same with my word.
See, His word is going to take care of every situation in your life. His word is going to sustain you. His word is going to blanket you. His word is going to cover you. His word is going to provide for you. You want to know how to do it? Go to His word and find out how to do it. Because He says, listen, just like I brought rain or snow from the sky to the ground to water the earth, to make the wheat. Come on. I'm talking to myself here. Made the wheat so that you could have bread. Hello. Isn't it amazing to even comprehend, to try to comprehend how this was all figured out? Like, the wheat's going to be there because the rain's going to come. Seeds are going to be planted. All this is taken care of. It's right there in front of us. Yet we act so much like God needs our help. It's crazy to me. Anyways, let's get back to the word. In the same way, or it's the same way with my word. I send it out, and it always, always, always produces fruit. When the word of God is sown, it always, always, always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. See, when you get sent out through the word of God that was planted on the inside of you, when you are obedient to the word of God that has been given to you, listen, everywhere you go, everywhere you're sent, you will prosper. Can we give God a great, great, big praise? If you want a heart ready for obedience, then we need to be seeking His plans in our lives, not His permission to what we want to do. If you got something from God, let's give Him one more praise. Amen. Pastor Dan.
Amen, amen. Hey, wasn't that a good word, everybody? And aren't you glad that Pastor Brian didn't move to Wyoming? Praise the Lord. I'm thankful. And by the way, I'm with Pastor Jess. That boy's not an introvert. Come on. You can't even walk by his office and say hi without being there for about a half an hour. So praise God. I'm grateful for Pastor Brian. He is a wonderful man of God, and I'm grateful for the word tonight, brother. That was phenomenal. Excellent message, and I'm grateful for it. Hey, tonight, let's prepare our hearts with joy to bring our tithes and our offerings into the storehouse of God. Can we celebrate that tonight? We have a missions highlight for you guys from Reverend Mike Keyes. He is an apostle to the Philippines. He plants churches. He has a network of churches there that he oversees, over 300 churches on the island of Mindanao. Pastor Joel and I have been there. Every summer they do crusades, and this is an update about what happened this year in 2024 during their summer crusades, and this is what you guys are involved in overseas in the Philippines. Check out the overhead screens.
It's important to remember that if we want to do great exploits for God, the life we live has to be holy, sanctified, and separated.
And that's just one of our missionaries. We have several that we support, and we're just grateful to take a portion of your gifts, your tithes, and your offerings to send it to the nations. While you're still seated, don't stand up. I'm going to put a confession over our missions. Do we have the missions confession that we can throw up there quickly? Let's just say this together on the count of three. Ready? As we prepare our hearts to give. One, two, three. I give to build the kingdom of God. We're a local church with a global heart and desire to see people saved here in the Inland Empire as well as all over the world. We declare open doors in the nations, resources, wisdom, and grace for missionaries, churches, and people blessed both physically and spiritually, and open hearts to receive the gospel. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise today. If you're in need of an envelope, you're given by cash or credit card. The ushers are standing at their feet. They have those available for you by simply raising your hand. You can give by cash or credit card on those envelopes, and then all the different ways to give are up on the overhead screens behind me. And then we do have, if you're giving by check, just make it out to The Rock Church. And so those are great ways to give. We do have tap to give on the back of the seat. That if you can see that, just open your phone up, turn it on, tap it there, and it should send you a link. That way you can follow that straight to the giving option or scan the QR code. All great ways to give. Let me pray quickly. Keep doing what you're doing with your offering envelopes, your checks, your tap to give, tithe, whatever you're doing, do it. And I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to sow into the nations, God. Thank you, Lord, that missionaries like Mike Keys and others are going to be blessed in this year and the coming years, God, because of what we do here tonight, God. Lord, we're grateful that we can have a worldwide impact by giving here at our local church, God. And so, Lord, thank you for the opportunity and the privilege. God, also, we know that there's many needs in this house, God. Christmas is coming and people are feeling the pressure at the end of the year, God. I thank you, Lord, that you relieve that. You bless your people, God. You provide for them in mighty ways. In Jesus' name, we're all in agreement. We say amen. Amen. Hey, I do want to mention, if you're considering your end giving for tax benefits, your business owner, or you're looking at that, we would encourage you to consider the Rock Church and World Outreach Center as an option. And we're just grateful for those of you who do that year after year in support of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. I've got some quick announcements for you guys. First thing is this. Ladies, what's coming up this Saturday? GNO is coming up, Girls Night Out. Okay, so make sure to be here. If you haven't already got your ticket, get your ticket. Second announcement I have, Dr. Baron Gilfillan will be back with us Wednesday, December 11th at 7 p.m. That's next week. So don't miss what God wants to speak through Dr. Baron to you. It's going to be great. And then, ladies, what's coming up this Saturday? Oh, come on. Did you forget already? What's coming up this Saturday? GNO, you need to be here, all right? And then Sunday, December 8th, all the way through December 22nd, after every evening service, we're going to have coffee and cocoa with a Christmas light show. They're going to do that at, what's coming up this Saturday, ladies? GNO is coming up this Saturday, and they're going to do the first lighting for the ladies that Saturday. And then the last announcement I have is, ladies, what's coming up this Saturday? Okay, awesome. Hopefully you got that by now. Check out the overhead screens and watch what else is coming up. Then Pastor Brian will be right back.
Hey, Rock Church family, it is the most wonderful time of year because it is Christmas time and we want to celebrate this season with you.
Christmas weekend services will be taking place on Saturday, December 21st at 10 a.m., Sunday, December 22nd at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 1:30 p.m. in Spanish, and a special Christmas Eve candlelight communion service happening on Tuesday, December 24th at 5 p.m. Be sure to stop by the inner foyer to grab your invite cards to invite those in your life to join us for Christmas at The Rock. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, girls. I am so excited for what God has for us this Christmas season. Girls Night Out, it is the last call today. You need to get your tickets. Invite as many friends as you can. This is such an anointed time for us women to celebrate and kick off the Christmas season. I believe God wants to do something in us so that we then can bring it to all around us. It is December 7th at 3 p.m. the party starts, and then we have so much in store for you. I'm bringing my friend Carrie Pomerelli. She is a comedian, but she's also a dynamic Word of God speaker, and she's gonna come out and we're gonna laugh and we're gonna play and we're gonna have a good time. I have gifts for you. Most important, we're gonna have time with the Holy Spirit, and we're gonna have such a good time. So you need to bring friends. I'm asking you to go be full-time ministers. Invite someone to come, and I will see you there. God bless you.
Amen, amen. Hey, good news. Pastor Paul made it across the border. Praise God. Why? Because when you do what God asks you to do, He protects you, right? Doesn't look good. You don't understand how it's going to happen. Doesn't make sense. God works it all out.
Why? Because we're in His plan, doing what He's asked us to do. Amen? All right. Well, hey, listen, before we wrap up, I want to make sure that everybody here is going to be able to spend eternal life with me, because I plan on going to heaven, and I'd like to see you there. But the reality is we don't get to go to heaven because we showed up to church. We don't get to heaven because we read through some scriptures, open up our daily devotional every day. We don't get to heaven because we're a good person and we know all the right things to do. We get to heaven because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that we make a conscious decision to say, I'm going to surrender all of my heart and all of my life to Him. That I understand that Jesus Christ went to the cross, that He paid the ultimate price for me, that because He defeated death and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, if I call upon His name and surrender my heart and life over to Him, I will be saved. When I understand that it's no longer about me and it's all about Him, that's when everything in our life begins to change and we become born again. See, being born again, I love in the book of, there's a man by the name of Nicodemus who comes to Jesus and says, what do I need to do to get to heaven? What do I need to do to make it? Nicodemus was better than all of us. He spoke the word of God. He knew the word of God. He sang the word of God. Man, I know he was better than me. Jesus says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, I don't understand. I'm an old man. How do I climb into my mother's womb? Every time I read that, I'm so grateful that that's not how we get to heaven. He says, Nicodemus, what's born of the flesh is flesh. What's born of the spirit is spirit. See, again, it's not going to make sense according to what we know. Trying to live according to the law, trying to not break the Ten Commandments, good luck with that. Well, I don't tell lies and I'm a good person. I don't cheat on my taxes. I'm a great parent. I encourage people. Gave somebody $5 as I was driving by him on the freeway today. Or on the beside the freeway today. I'm a good person. I always encourage people. I keep blankets in my car in case I see somebody cold. Listen, none of that gets us to heaven. See, our good works are like filthy rags. We can't be good enough. The good news is Jesus is good enough. He paid the price for you and I. And all we have to do is receive Him as Lord and Savior of our life, and we get to spend our eternal life in heaven. So I want to ask you today, if you've never surrendered your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, are you willing to make that decision today? If you're not sure today whether you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to make sure or give you the opportunity to make sure today. If you're saying, well, Brian, listen, I made this decision before, but I went back doing my own thing. But you know what? I was taught once saved, always saved. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he that endures to the end shall be saved. You don't get to raise your hand one time in a church and you get out of jail free card for the rest of your life. That's not how this works. God is looking for all of your heart and all of your life. He's not looking, just like we read today, for the dishonest approach. God, you tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. He says, okay, give me your life. No, that's not what I want to do. I'm here. I came to church. I sang the songs. I opened up my Bible. I read the screens. I did everything I was supposed to do. Obviously, I'm going to make it to heaven. But see, if we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, when we stand before Him, we will hear the words, go from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. But I fed the poor in your name, and I sang songs in your name, and I did everything according to your name. I never knew you. See, it's not about what comes out of our mouth, but it's about who we give our heart to. Are we willing to surrender all of our heart and all of our life to Jesus Christ? You might be in here tonight, and you're thinking, well, listen, you don't understand the bad things that I've done. Praise God, you don't understand all the bad things I've done. But I do know one thing. The blood of Jesus Christ has washed away all of my sins. And regardless of how many drugs I did in the past, regardless of how many people I hurt, regardless of how many times I went to jail, regardless of how many times I should have been dead, I'm grateful that Jesus Christ gave me an opportunity to be standing before you today. I was 19 years old, had 2 heart attacks, should have been dead. But I'd be in hell right now if that would have happened. You might be here tonight thinking you got more time. Listen, you're not promised tomorrow, but you are given an opportunity today. Every single one of us can get in our car, start driving home, and our heart stops. Car accident, heart attack. People die all the time. Well, listen, I'm too young. Listen, we've done lots of young people's funerals here in this house. It's sad, but it's true. Again, none of us are promised tomorrow, but you are given the opportunity today. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you, if you've never surrendered your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that today. Never made a wholehearted commitment. Maybe you've done it before, but you didn't back it with all of your heart and all of your life. I want to give you the opportunity today. Not sure, let's make sure today. Did it but ran away from the things of God. We'll come back to God. Get ready to get your hand up. What I'm going to do in a moment is I'm going to count to 3. 1, 2, 3. Clap my hands together like this. When I clap my hands together at 3, here's what I want you to do. I want you to raise your hand. Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, but if you deny me, I'll deny you. It's a choice you have to make. You can sit there and you can say, I'm going to keep my arms crossed. I'm going to do it my way. God would never make me want to embarrass myself. My God would never make me embarrass myself in front of all these people. That's not what the Bible says. See, you're going to have to live a life, a sacrificial life. It says the world will hate you because of him. And if you're afraid to walk the aisles in a safe and friendly place like a church, you'll never live for him out there in the world. But the first day to the rest of your life can start today by you saying, I want to surrender all of my heart and all of my life to Jesus Christ. So when I count to 3, clap my hands together. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, get ready to get your hand up. Don't be worried about what somebody might think, what somebody might say. Listen, there's going to be more people that are excited for you than are judging you. And those who are judging you, who cares? Because you're not accountable to them. You're accountable to God. So when I count to 3, clap my hands together. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, get ready to get your hand up. 1, 2, 3. Anybody today? I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Praise God. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else today? Anybody else today? If I haven't seen your hand yet, if I've seen your hand, you can put it down. If I haven't seen your hand, just slip it up real quick. You know that God's tugging on your heart. I see somebody pointing. Which direction are you pointing, Paul? I can't hear you. I'm just kidding. I can't see the hand, but I know God does. Anybody else? Praise God, I see your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm going to wrap this up. Don't miss your opportunity. God's calling you home. I see your hand. Praise God, I see your hand. Amen. Let's give God a hand. Let's give... I got to tell you, this is why we do what we do. I am so grateful that somebody did this for me. I'm standing up here today on this platform because somebody gave me an opportunity to surrender my heart and life over to Jesus Christ. I grabbed a hold of it. I meant it. Was I perfect? Far from it. Am I perfect now? Ask my wife. She'll tell you absolutely not. But I strive for it every single day. Here's what we're going to do. If you said you're raising your hand and you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as everybody stands to their feet, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat and come up here to the front. I want to shake your hand. I want to greet with you. I want to pray with you. So if you said yes to Jesus tonight, I'm going to ask you to come forward to the altar. Praise God. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Will come to the altar. God is so good. Amen. Well, listen. Put a smile on your face. The best decision you've ever made. All the things that the devil tried telling you before this day, don't listen to him. If you stay under his covering, if you get in his word, if you pray daily, if you continue to trust in what he's asking you to do, put some people around you to keep you accountable. Ask the questions. Mean it in your heart. Ask God for the direction that he has for you. He'll tell you. He'll show you. And if you're obedient, he'll keep you. Let's pray. I'm going to say a simple prayer. You guys, as you guys repeat after me, everybody behind you will also repeat it. Right? Don't worry about the words per se. If you mess something up, don't worry about it. But listen, God's looking at the heart. So as we bow our heads, close our eyes, you can repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you that you went to the cross and you died for me. We thank you, Jesus. Because of your shed blood, we can now enter into covenant with you. So come, Holy Spirit, into my heart, into my life. Guide me, direct me, motivate me, encourage me to be all that you've called me to be. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, for what you've done, and what you've called me to be. We thank you. From this day forward, we can now say that we're headed for heaven, denying hell. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Like I said, this is the best decision of your life, but here's what we want to do. This is Pastor Joel over here on my right, your left. What he wants to do is he wants to get some information in your hand, because now that you made the decision, what do you do next? Right? We don't know what to do. He's going to explain this is what you need to do. He's going to introduce you to some friends, some of that accountability partners that we talked about, right? That can come alongside you, that can help you every single day. We got them all back here. You wonder, who are all these people that are crowding me? These are your new friends, right? They want to do life with you. So they're gonna give you some information. Then after that, they're going to put you right back out with your family, and you guys can go home. So if you can make a left-hand turn, follow Pastor Joel right over here. Amen. I got to tell you, it never, ever, ever gets old seeing people walk these altars. Listen, the minute we take that for granted, I tell you, we need to check ourselves. It's amazing. One of the amazing things about, you know, there's so many churches out there that don't do this. How sad is that? Isn't it a good house that we get to come and do ministry in and do life with? Amen? All right, I'm going to pray with you. If you guys want to lift your hands, Heavenly Father, I lift up each and every person that came today. I thank you, Lord God, for the word that was sown today. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the plans that you have for their life. I thank you that as they seek your plans, you will continue to cover them, protect them, that you will keep them rooted, that you will keep away the enemy, and that you will guide them and direct them and bless them every day of their life. I thank you, Heavenly Father, and with a great big shout of faith, we declare that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
What a blessing it was to hear the word of God tonight. Does anybody need a prayer? So we talk to you. We have a prayer.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us online. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and prayed that salvation prayer with our pastor, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Here at The Rock, we want to get you plugged in and set up for success as you start this new walk with God. in a moment, I'd like for you to head over to our Respond to God page by clicking the link provided in the comments where you can fill out your information so we can provide you with some free materials. We have a booklet called Welcome to Your Destiny, Easy Steps to a Successful Future with God. We'd love to mail you this paper copy if you are within the continental United States. If not, don't worry about it. We have an electronic copy in PDF format that we would be happy to email you. We also have a comic book we'd love to send out for any kids that have made a decision to follow Jesus. It helps explain their new walk with Jesus in a fun and age-friendly way. We not only want to provide you with these free materials, but if you live locally, we would also like to get you connected with a friend. A spiritual personal trainer, or as we like to call them, SPTs, who can help guide you through your new relationship with God. We encourage you to connect with the local church in your area. And if you are in the Inland Empire, remember, you're always welcome here at The Rock Church. Well, it was great hearing the Word of God with you guys today. We can't wait to see you at our next service. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.